Blog Talk Radio. You know what? I had breakfast in bed this morning. Breakfast in bed. Wasn't that wonderful? What a wonderful feeling that is. And as I was laying there, I was thinking about the show and the fact that being homeless. And when we think about being homeless, what are we really saying? Are we really talking about the lack of a home or the lack of a house or choice to have either one? A lot of people really believe that there are those that have made some very poor choices in their life that have led to being homeless or houseless. And so this morning, we wanted to talk about that for our students and teachers out there that are involved in, yes, there are students and teachers in homeless shelters. That's right. And there are statistics for the homeless that are just startling. But there are many who don't believe the numbers are really true. And certainly not, as I've been sharing with people about the show this morning, there are those that don't even recognize that there are students and teachers that are involved in the shelters. And I'm like, well, gosh, well, if you really think about the fact of the premise, the foundation of who we are as White Apple Institute, we are the people who say everyone is a student and a teacher if you follow these guidelines. A student is one who receives information, and a teacher is one who shares information. And if you fall into either of those categories, you are a student or teacher or both. And so, of course, there's students and teachers inside of shelters. And there are also those, yes, academic bred teachers, the ones who have gone to school for many, many years and have taught or still teaching in school settings that are dealing with home foreclosures, which puts them among many in the homeless numbers. Not necessarily that they are living in a shelter, but certainly counted as someone who is at an economic disadvantage. And let's not talk about the numbers of enrolled students who go to school every day from shelters, day in and day out, returning with their parents, school books in hand, to go into a shelter. Here we are in this holiday season, and we're still dealing with that particular issue of homelessness and houselessness. My friends, we are talking about the United States of America, so there must be some mistake. Yes, there must be some mistake, right? Hungry and homeless students in our schools, teachers facing foreclosures, and veterans, our veterans, sleeping in the cold. Disabled persons, come on now, disabled persons with limited or no services in this great United States of America? Many say this has got to be their choice, come on, because we Americans would never allow this type of situation to take place. That's got to be another country you're talking about. This can't be a real crisis in the USA. because it's not even broadcasted during the day or peak time hours on TV or radio. So it can't be true. Are we choosing to ignore the realities, my friend? Join us today, an invited guest and the staff and board members of White Apple Institute, as we discuss homeless. Is it a choice for the holidays, part one of two? I believe we have one of our board members online right now. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. Good morning. 4602. Okay. We'll get back to them and shortly and see who that was calling in. For those of you who wish to call in this morning, feel free, if you're listening on your computer, to dial in at any time and give us your comments, stories, at 646 area, 727-3758. And the chat line is also open for those of you who wish to chat with me during the show. Whether you want to keep it anonymous or not is up to you. But we welcome your chat, and we want you to discuss what's going on in your own community to help this situation, to acknowledge this situation of homeless, especially for this holiday season. I was just wondering, when we talk about homeless, the word home just seems to resonate with me for some reason. And I'm not sure why it does resonate so much with me, because I understand the term homeless, but home just conjures up all kinds of images of warmth and fireplaces and families, where a house just conjures up an actual dwelling place. And I was just wondering if you feel the same way. Homelessness describes the condition of people without a regular dwelling. That's what Wikipedia says. People who are homeless are unable to, here it is. That's where I get that choice thing from. People who are homeless are unable or unwilling to acquire and maintain regular, safe, and adequate housing. The legal definition of homeless varies from country to country, and the term homeless may also include people whose primary nighttime residence is in a homeless shelter, a warming center, some kind of warming center. That sounds so cold, doesn't it? A domestic violence center or some kind of housing situation. The American government does some studies. Okay? And the studies that they're doing have been just unbelievable.
Good morning.
Good morning. One moment.
Hi.
Good morning. We have our that sounds like Dr. Polnitz online. Good morning,
yes.
Dr. Polnitz.
Yes. Good morning. I am, and I hope you can hear me okay.
Yes.
It's a little bit noisy where I am right now.
Please share with our listeners.
That's exactly what I want to do. Are you still there?
Yes.
Okay. I am at a event in, I'm having a hard time seeing my phone, though.
Okay. Are you in Phoenix, Arizona, first off?
I am in Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay.
Give me 1 second here.
Okay.
I have a new phone, and it isn't showing up the way I want it to.
It's one of those smartphones or dumb phones?
It's a smartphone. But just continue talking. As soon as I get it in the right position, I will. Here we go. I'm so sorry that it's.
That's okay.
Okay. Now, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, it's going to get noisy in a minute, but let me tell you where I'm at. I'm at a event, and I have to have here in the Phoenix area, we just had an election, and I have Mr. Danny Venezuelas here with us, who was the new council member, just elected this past November, and I want to put him on the phone.
Okay.
And he's going to tell you what it is what we're out there doing today, and it chimes in exactly with what you're doing.
And that congressman, who, say his name again, Daniel?
Daniel, Councilman Daniel Venezuelas.
Venezuelas.
Okay, I'm going to put him on. He is one of, he is Phoenix Finest. There he is.
Hi.
Hello, Councilman. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. I'm at the Student to Teacher Internet Radio Show. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
So what are you doing this morning, sir?
Well, this morning we're having a food drive, if you will, in West Phoenix. As you know, the election is over. I'm honored to have the support of the community. And this was a grassroots-oriented campaign. And we had so many people, so many young students involved in this campaign. And I've been saying it all along that winning the election was a byproduct of our community service. And I've always said that this was not about winning an election. It was about taking accountability for our community and to continue helping our community. And so now that the election is actually over, it actually ended on November 8th, we're still out and we're still doing things to better our community. So today what we're doing is we're getting people registered to vote, but also along the way we're collecting canned goods, and we'll be handing them over to the St. Mary's Food Bank.
Wow. Well, that fits right into what we're doing today for the show. I don't know if Dr. Polnis has had a chance to share with you, but our show today is strictly about the homeless population in the United States and how we're dealing with that as students and teachers. And not only being homeless, but being hungry, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. We have far too many people who are homeless, especially during this recession. Now, this recession, obviously, it put a lot of families in a predicament they've never faced before. But, you know, quite frankly, even prior to the recession, there have been a lot of people who face some of these issues. So we, you know, we are all very passionate about it. Personally, you know, I was elected to city council, and I'm honored for that, but I mean, I'm a firefighter at heart. That's what I do professionally.
Wonderful, sir.
Well, I'm a servant, and you know what? We all are. All of us are servants. And
thank you.
It's the most honorable thing that we could do in our lives. So, wouldn't you agree? Is to serve our
absolutely
fellow men. So you know what? What's inspiring is, and I'm looking at the group that are here, that's actually here with me. And these are students. Some of these kids are in junior high, ranging all the way up to college students, and they get they're from these neighborhoods, and they're here to help. It's just inspiring to watch and to be a part of.
Sir, may I get the spelling of your last name, please?
Sure. My name is Daniel Valenzuela. V as in Victor. A L Enzuela. I'm a Glendale firefighter and the Phoenix councilman elect for District 5, which is in West Phoenix.
Okay, now that's V like Victor, A L
E N Z U E L A.
Oh, Valenzuela, like Valenzuela in a way.
Well, it is Valenzuela, V A L E N Z U E L A.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. I, as a matter of fact, I do know your name. You just conjured up the image just now. Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, the website is Daniel, Daniel, the number 4, PHX.com.
All right. And you're with District 5?
Yes, ma'am. District 5, which is West Phoenix. And I'm a man of faith, family, community. I mean, this is all about serving. So,
yes, sir. Well, we certainly appreciate you being who you are and doing what you're doing, because you are, to me, you'll be coming up and you may be even running for mayor pretty soon, the way it looks, because I'm telling you, part of being, you're a Glendale firefighter, is that right?
Yes, I'm a Glendale firefighter. I'm a lifelong Phoenix resident.
Right, and you're also president of the National Association of Hispanic Firefighters.
I am, which is a nonprofit, and the goal there is to promote diversity in the fire service nationally, just so that we as firefighters can best serve the communities that we serve. So,
wonderful. And the food drives that you're putting on, this is a pretty much an annual thing that you've been doing for quite a while.
Well, yeah, so we have, and this is this particular food drive is a little bit different. See, when I first started running for office, I didn't go to the big developers or zoning attorneys. I went to the people that I know in the community and people who know me, and we decided that I was not going to wait until January 3rd of 2012 to make a difference. That's the date I'm being sworn in. I wanted to make a difference from the very beginning. We wanted to make a difference from the very beginning, so we made this campaign about community involvement and taking accountability for our own community and getting and inspiring through the actions of our campaign, inspiring other people to help those causes. So,
mm-hmm.
So like I said, today we're all gathered and we are doing a food drive, and it's. Like I said, for me personally, it's very inspiring. It's just a look at all of these students and their faces that are so involved in our community already.
Yes.
It's humbling.
You know what impresses me about you, sir, is that you talk about the character flaws of being a public official, and you said something that sticks in my mind, and that is about being that you're conscious of public officials being overly ambitious. And that you're not necessarily pointing a finger at them, but you're saying that it's not necessary. Well, like you say, what you really mean behind that.
Well, many people who run for office, and again, I've never run for office. And you know what? It doesn't have to be a bad thing. But what I've found, and just speaking as a constituent, many times you get people who run for office with a political agenda, and decisions are made based on their next political opportunity or what they hope that political opportunity will be. And I've always said it that, you know, if the people want me back in 4 years, then they'll have me back. But I'm looking at this as an opportunity to serve the community. And at the end of my 4-year term, I will be judged by my record and not the amount of political opportunities there are. And
yes.
And that's what's important. I mean, people need to understand that elected officials, they're there to represent everyone in the community and to truly better that community. So my heart is in Phoenix. I am a West Side kid, if you will. But I love the entire city of Phoenix. I mean, my heart
agree.
Right. So I will be doing all that I can to help move the city forward, and obviously West Phoenix being that is my district as well.
Now, I don't want to keep you long. I know you have a lot of activities there, but I do want to just focus on one thing before you leave. Have you seen the numbers of students that are involved on the receiving end of being in a homeless shelter or being hungry in our world-class city of Phoenix?
Yes, ma'am, I have. And you know what? I don't think a lot of people, when people think of homeless, when they hear the word, they probably don't realize that a lot of these people are actually children.
Yes.
And I got to tell you what also hurts me, I mean, it hurts me to see anyone who's homeless, okay, please don't get me wrong, but what alarms me is when people see a great deal of home, you know, when people go and visit some of these shelters, they will find that there's a great deal of young people and there are a great deal of our veterans that are out there.
Yes.
Those who give us this opportunity to live life as we know it,
yes.
They come home and they're homeless. And yeah,
sure.
We do have to, and that is also my passion. And we're going to be working on policies and programs that aid our veterans as well, who are out there who are struggling. So yeah,
well, anyway,
I mean, I
help you with that, Councilman, as a veteran myself. And we do a lot of our shows are focused around veterans with disabilities. And I would be so happy, and I know the staff at White Apple Institute would be happy to help you in furthering that goal. I've served on the Committee for Accessibility. I'm very familiar with Michael Jackson and served with many of your mayors in the programs that I've written. And I'm very, very impressed by the spirit of our great city. We want to do things differently.
Absolutely. And yes, I mean, I would love to work with you.
I'll be in touch.
You know what? And that goes both ways. If there's anything I could ever do, please let me know. That's what I'm about. That's what my office is about. And, I really look forward. Look, as far as I'm concerned, I was put on this earth to serve, you know, and I know there are a lot of people. I'm sure you're the same way, right?
Yes.
This earth to serve is something more honorable that I believe I can do in my life, other than carrying that spirit amongst my family. That is what it's about for me. So.
You talk a lot about the vision that you have for Phoenix, and one of the things that I know that's I can see it in your background that's very dear to your heart is this homeless situation and people facing unemployment and all of the things that can bring them into this situation of losing their homes and their families. And do you see a positive outcome, and why do you see that positive outcome?
Well, I'm an optimist. I do see a positive outcome because I'm doing something about it. Okay, and we can all sit back and talk about it, or we can actually do something about it. I don't mean to use the letter I in this.
Mm-hmm.
We are doing something about it.
Yes,
the fact
sir.
That you're doing this radio show, you're doing something about it. You know, like I said, I'm standing here at Starlight Park in West Phoenix, and we're just about to kick off our this food drive. And we actually do this door-to-door, by the way. So, you know, it's a pretty big effort. I'm looking at all of these young people, these kids, and they're doing something about it. So I am an optimist. And it's interesting because, you know, and it happens all the time. Every time we do something like this, the crowd will somehow get bigger, because as we start knocking on doors and somebody just start talking to people, it seems that at least a couple of those people that we're talking to will join the crowd, right? And then
mm-hmm.
start doing something about it. So I am an optimist. I think this is an effort that has to be made from the bottom up and from the top down. You know? I do believe that we're on the right track. I mean, obviously there's a great need out there, but
Councilman, I realize and I can hear in the background there's a lot of things going on, but I want to tell you that some years ago I served with Rose Chabot with the and I was on the board for City Dads. It was an anti-gang program mostly, and we were involved with Gerald Richards was the police chief at that time. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but we had a lot of firefighters and police officers that were involved with us. And one of them, and a lot of them had the same vision that you have. And I'm just hoping that you will continue to be an inspiration to all of the people, not only in the Maryvale Village area, which I'm very familiar with, but also I'm a passionate member with you of the passionate supporter of the city of Phoenix as a world-class city. So I'm with you all the way and continuing that goal. And thank you so much for being part of our show this morning.
You know what? Thank you, and God bless you. And
thank
I
you.
Look forward to working with you in the future.
God bless you. I'll be in touch with your office, see if we can get more people on the show to talk more about what you're doing all the time, okay?
Fantastic. Thank you.
All right. Have a great day. Thank you. Dr. Ponitz, are you available? Now she has
something. Yes, it's me. I'm here.
Dr. Thomas?
Yes, yes.
Yes, we thank you so much for having Councilman Venezuela join us this morning. What a great gift to us during the holidays to hear his inspiration for those of us who have fallen into the homeless category and hungry category. Fits right into our show this morning.
I know, isn't that amazing?
Yes, yes it is. You are an amazing woman. You are an amazing educator.
Thank you, thank you.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going now to collect food for the homeless and the hungry.
All right.
So
thank
you
so much.
Have a great weekend, everybody. Thank you for
right.
allowing me to be a part of it.
Thank you. Bye bye right. now.
Bye bye.
Okay. Well, that was Dr. Beverly Ponitz, one of our board members for White Apple Institute, our sponsor for the Student to Teacher Show, that just came online for us. And she introduced Councilman Daniel Valenzuela of the Phoenix City Council, District 5, and they're doing a fantastic food drive out in the area. And these are food drives that are going on every other place. And that's one thing I wanted to ask the councilman, but it's pretty clear in his record that he understands that food drives and drives to bring awareness for the homeless are not necessarily during the holidays. It's not a necessity during the holidays that we need to do this. That these are times when we need people to understand that it's not feeding someone for just one day or one week or putting a warm blanket on them or providing a shelter. It's an ongoing effort. And that's what's so important when we start talking about helping the homeless during the holiday season. But most importantly, our show today is focused on those that believe that for some reason, some odd reason, that it could be a choice, especially for a student or teacher to be in the economic disadvantaged position of losing their home and ending up, some of them ending up in a shelter. As Councilman Valenzuela reminded us that there are many students that are involved in these shelters that are coming in daily with books in their hands. This is not just Professor Applewhite making this statement. This is a valid, not only a great councilman of District 5, but also a firefighter and a very dedicated person to keeping families together, whether they're in Phoenix or around the country. So we're really happy that there's focus being placed in this area, but we also want to make sure that there's an emphasis placed on the fact that this is a real crisis in the USA, and this is not about, for most of the people that are in these circumstances, this is not a matter of choice. This is a matter of circumstances beyond our control, extenuating circumstances beyond our control. Of course, this morning, we just heard this morning that Congress is still dragging their feet about extending the time overall in this country for people to know that they can have some kind of leniency for their unemployment benefits and other associated benefits beyond, you know, in a reasonable time frame so that they can get back on their feet again. At this point, they just approved only two months. That's not enough time for people to actually find a job and become secure and stable in a home and start putting food regularly on the table and paying the bills with any kind of sustainability. So we want to encourage our Congress and our president to keep doing the great job that he's doing, but more importantly, to encourage him to keep putting that fire under Congress so that we can have more approvals of different programs, projects that have longevity to them. This 60-day, 90-day interval stuff is not working. And only thing it does is pretty much set us up for failure, knowing that, you know, we're going to try hard. We put out those applications, and maybe it'll open up the door for a little bit, but then it'll close again as soon as we start getting on our feet. And we have to change that, especially for veterans. That's happening for veterans. Hopefully the programs that we have now that are opening up for employment for veterans, as Councilman Valenzuela noted, our veterans are in quite a position here where they've served our country and are responsible for the freedoms that we experience here, that they have no business sleeping in the cold, being a part of the disability population with limited or no services. This is not the America that we know. This is not the America that we love. As a black woman, as an African American woman in this country, I am outraged at the amount of people, children that I see on a daily basis that are hungry and homeless in our schools. And I'm enraged by teachers discussing their foreclosures and what they're going through, and still trying to come in every day with a smile on their face and teach the ABCs, 1, 2, 3s of life. There's got to be an answer, my friends. And one of them, one of the resolutions that I'd like to talk to you about and like you to think about for the next week is, are we as a nation choosing to ignore the realities? Just because something's not in our face every day, and there's reasons for that, I'm talking about the media. I'm talking about corporations. Why isn't there more attention focused on people with disabilities, persons with disabilities, striving to work every day, some of them having families of their own? I hope you got that one. Some of them taking care of families of their own. These are not, I'm not talking about people who are totally dependent on others. I myself, being a person with disability, do not depend on other people for my sustainability, for my economic situation. I work and I do the best I can to survive in this world, and there are many, many more like me and like you out there who are listening to the show, who are rolling up their sleeves and not wearing the label of disabled. And we need the media and we need corporations to pay more attention during the daytime hours on the television and in the media about what's really going on out there. We need to look at single parents who are struggling with their children inside of many of these homeless shelters. There are a large number. I had a student not too long ago, my friends, who lived in a storage shed. If you know what a storage shed is, for those of you who are outside of the USA, let me explain that a storage shed is like a very, very small garage that you would normally park a car in or store boxes in. And this student was actually living in a shelter like that in the good old USA and studying every night with an extension cord that gave her a lamp that extended into the office of the manager of the storage units, who was kind enough to let her live where her belongings were because she had no other place to go. She took her children in there. She fed them, got them to school every day, and attended my class. And I give all, I wanted to call her this morning because I'm still in touch with her. She once in a while does connect with me. She is now a respiratory therapist, and she's doing a wonderful job with her life. But at that time in her life, she needed exposure. She needed attention to her circumstances. And that's what we're dealing with now in our world today, is that there's not enough attention to the circumstances that people are going through, especially those that are single parents especially those who are of a group that has tremendous disparity, tremendous challenges. Usually they're noted at the end of the Department of Labor's totem pole, if you will. And that is certainly people of color, Latinos, with Latinos and Blacks with disabilities, with disabling conditions, people or veterans with PTSD who are struggling to keep things going in their life and need a hand up, not a hand down, a hand up, who need just the door cracked, slightly cracked, and they'll open the door. But they do need it unlocked at least. My goodness, we need to unlock the door and maybe crack it a little bit so that they can come in to the opportunities that we have discussed and reinforced for ages about our good old United States of America. We need to get back on our feet again as a nation and encourage people to stand up and say, we are a great nation. And yes, we do have some issues here, but because we are a great nation, we are acknowledging those issues. We're not sweeping them underneath the rug. We're acknowledging them during the daytime, during peak hours on our televisions, so that we can bring awareness. We are not going to promote an idea that we are not going to promote that idea. Please fall with me on this one. Follow me. We are not going to promote an idea that that we are not a country with problems, because unfortunately, that's what's going out around the globe still, and it's been there for ages. And there was a time when we were the number one, and we've had very few problems with homeless and unemployed and people with disabilities not getting the right services. But we do now, and this is now. And so we need to start putting out more of an effort, my friends, to get this situation taken care of. I look forward to your chats. I look forward to your comments back to me about the show today. And I'm looking forward to hearing more from Councilman Valenzuela's office on ways that we can continue to promote what they're doing in the great world-class city of Phoenix. Which is where the headquarters of White Apple Institute is headquartered in one of the sister cities here in Arizona, which is Mesa, Arizona. And we certainly appreciate the fact that we're able to bring such gripping stories to you, such gripping accounts of what's really going on out there in the world. And we are at a peak time right now, broadcasting on Saturday morning from 10 to 11. And also that our shows are archived, dear friends. Our shows are archived. So this show can be hopefully played within homeless shelters around not only the state of Arizona, but throughout the United States and throughout the world. As we all come to the understanding that we're in this boat together. We're in this boat together. And we need to understand the difference between being homeless and houseless, okay? Let me just elaborate on that. That's where I was going before Councilman Valenzuela joined us this morning at the in the city of Glendale, Arizona, at the food drive they're doing there. Thank you again, Dr. Polnitz, for bringing that to our attention. Home, I just want to elaborate on what Webster calls home. Home is called one's place of residence. It's a domicile, a familiar or usual setting. It's usually a social unit, families living together, a place where people call home. This is where I originate from. This is where I come from. And that's usually home. When we talk about a house, and again, back to the many teachers out there, a heartfelt desire to see you gain back the financial stability to not only live in your house or the house that you choose to live in, but to be able to sustain it with an appropriate salary that meets your expenses, teachers out there. Okay, the house, different from the home, is just a building that serves as living quarters, usually for a family. It's a shelter or a refuge, a building which is, you know, serves as some kind of housing to keep people out of the cold or whatever. So house has a different connotation, a different meaning than home. When you are homeless, you are missing something valuable: the warmth, the nurturing, the support of family, the ability to sit down at a dinner table and smile at each other, the ability to have plentiful enough food at your table to share with every member of the family. In our United States of America, we need to pave the way continuously for people to understand the difference between being houseless and being homeless, that we will not tolerate the citizens of this country who do not fall. There are a few, grant you, there are a few that fall into making a choice to be homeless. Okay? And I know many of you can say, who would make a choice to be homeless? Well, there are a few that really, truly do make a choice that they don't want to have the security of a home or the responsibility of a home. But most of the time, relationship with the United Nations, they define the homeless or a homeless household as those households without a shelter that would fall within the scope of being a living quarter. And they carry very few possessions with them, sleeping in the streets, in doorways, or in other spaces on a more random basis. Come on, folks. We have got to bring more awareness that persons living in the streets of the United States of America, I'm going to go ahead and say it. Yeah, I do believe that we are a great country. I am reserved on saying we're the greatest because I'm not going to get into an ego issue about America. I do believe in our country, and I believe we're going to pull through this. I believe in the listeners of this show today that you're going to do something. Here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to just, when you get through with this show today, get on your internet and simply send this website, blogtalkradio.com/student2toteacher, and send it out to your friends and say, listen to this show, grab somebody who's maybe on the verge of a foreclosure, on the verge of being in a shelter, or know someone under those circumstances, and listen to this show so they can feel a sense of encouragement. We're not the only ones who are doing something, but we have to bring more awareness. And one of the things that I know is happening with this attitude of we don't see it on peak hours on the television set. I'm not going to get into the corporate greed issue with the occupiers, and my heart goes out to them. I know that many of them have great intentions, and they have their own story to tell. Maybe in a few shows up, we can have a few of them come on and share their stories. But what I really want to say in all of this about peak hours is that I'm very disturbed that when I'm watching television late at night, and I know you're saying, Professor Applewhite, what are you doing up late at night in the early wee morning hours of the morning? I'm writing, friends. I'm writing research. I'm out there doing the things that I feel that I need to do, but sometime I'll look over and click on that television set, and I'll see a commercial about homelessness, addictions, students, young people, and older people homeless in the streets. I can't believe it that it's during the 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. Why isn't this projected during the daytime hours? Those of us who have the capability, know-how, and the resources to connect with our media need to ask that question. Why does it have to cost an extravagant amount of money for us to project these commercials, these ads, out to the public so that they can see what's going on? What does it take for that to happen? Is it a money issue? Is it a caring issue? What are we trying to say? What are we saying to our students out there? What are we saying to the students who were with Councilman Valenzuela this morning, who were passing out food, cans of food? How do we explain to them about why they're even doing this? You know, there's a newsletter that's put out. I believe it's based in New York City. And it's another city council member that's involved in helping this woman who has this is just one story, a 9-year-old daughter. And they're riding the bus from Brooklyn to Manhattan. And the story breaks your heart, okay? Two city agencies responsible for homeless students are still trying to reconcile conflicting information about some basic questions. What is so hard about this? How many homeless students are enrolled, and how many live within walking distance of the schools? How many are riding buses? How many are all over the world? What's going on here? Fourth grade students that are doing their homework on subways and buses around our country. What is this all about? Where's the Department of Education? You know, the Department of Education defines homeless children as those, get this one, between the ages of 3 to 21 years old in temporary housing. Guess what? The estimate on that is more than 8 times that of homeless services. Did you get that? An estimated over 53,000 homeless students were served last year. Over 53,000. So, my friends, if this number doesn't, you know, and I don't like to get tied up on statistics a lot, but we do want better than this kind of success rate of 35% that I'm seeing across the country. We want to see this move in a better direction here. This is ridiculous. So we want this to change quickly. We want the busing of homeless students between shelters and schools to increase. Okay, right now they're busing kindergarten to 6th grade students from shelters to schools. We know the problem exists. We just are dragging our feet. Many of us are. But let's give kudos as we close the show this morning. I've got to give kudos to some of the people like our Councilman Daniel Valenzuela and the many city council members throughout the United States, the good old USA, who are doing something to at least address this situation. Most importantly, if you yourself personally know of a teacher who's struggling with foreclosure and still trying to get in there to that classroom every day and do something special and not let anyone know what he or she is hiding behind the sadness. If you know of someone who is hungry, that you bring attention, not this kind of attention that would be embarrassing to them, but attention to the cause. And most importantly, love. We've got to show more love in our nation. The Bible speaks of in the last days, and I'm hearing a lot of people talk about the last days. This is the end of days. They keep mentioning December 21st, 2012 as the end of days. And I've heard a lot of different dates for this judgment time or whatever that's coming. And all I have to say about that, because I'm not going to get into any prescribed religious thought, I'm just going to say that whatever it is that's coming, whether you believe it or not, I still believe on a day-to-day basis, we have to take an ethical and responsible look, a viewpoint of how can we as one person do something about the situation that faces us on a day-to-day basis in our communities, whether we live in the USA or whether we're in Burkina Faso, which is north of Nigeria, where there's students there that connect with White Apple Institute. No matter whether you're in a rural part of China and you're a teacher there with economic disadvantages. We hear from students and teachers in Dominican Republic. We know that the problem is out there at White Apple Institute, and that's why we broadcast this show every chance that we get every Saturday, no matter what troubles we face as individuals. We get on this radio, on this internet, and we bring you the best, most positive news we can. We're realist, but we're also optimist. And we thank you so much for joining us this Saturday morning for the student to teacher show. We don't know if is Dr. Ponitz online right now?
Yes, I am online. I just wanted to add really, really quickly that we're out here in the field, and it's just heartbreaking because the first houses that we went to, they didn't have any food to donate. It's critical what you're saying about the homeless situation. It is critical that we do all that we can to help people this year. It's heartbreaking what I just experienced with the man with tears in his eyes saying, "I'm sorry, but I don't have anything to share."
Yes. Thank you.
So just do our best.
That's all we can do is do our best every night. We do our best. Thank you for the great work you're doing out there, Dr. Ponitz. And we look forward to hearing from you again on the Student to Teacher Show. And thanks to Nazim Rashid for his great music in closing our show today. Much love and peace to you wherever you are in this big, wide world.